Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, please. One of the things from our study on Sunday nights is remembering that God is always at work, and sometimes He is preparing us for our next assignment. That's the way we feel as a church. God is preparing us for our next assignment. And so we're praying for God to reveal to us what our next assignment is as a church. So keep praying for that, please. We come to a passage. It's always a difficult passage because of our checkered past, our horrible past here in the United States. But He wants to deal with an issue here. And out of that, we can gain. He's talking about slaves. And out of that, we today in our generation, we apply it in employer-employee relationships. But I just kind of want to bring us to the context of what He's talking about. Because He's been talking about the Spirit-filled life. You know, we started with a Spirit-filled life. We looked at a Spirit-filled marriage. We looked at a Spirit-filled home. Today we want to look at Spirit-filled employment. But the reality here is we need to speak about some things here. Okay? Paul comes to this passage in this portion. Many of the slaves of the day. Now think about this for a moment. Estimates are that 1 in 3 or 1/3 of the population to 1/2 of the population of the Roman Empire were slaves. So you look around and every third person here in the church was a slave. Up to 1/2. That's quite a number of people. Some of them were slaves that were mistreated badly. Some were what we called indentured servants. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, it deals with how you are to treat slaves and how you are to work with them. Because some of them, because of a debt, they couldn't pay it off, so they turned themselves in for indentured servanthood. We saw that a lot in the growing of our nation. Many families came across. Somebody would pay for them to cross, and then they would actually work off their debt as a servant in their household or that. And for them, this idea of the slaves was an extension of the home, because a lot of these were small business owners or entrepreneurs, as we would call them today. They just did that out of survival because they didn't have the mega corporations. They didn't have the big companies that employed thousands. A lot of them were just making business. So these slaves would help them with that business. So follow with me on this. Paul addresses those who many would consider the bottom rung of society. But let me be clear. Paul nor God advocates slavery. It would be very far removed for anybody to try to justify slavery from the scriptures, even though many tried and many did justify their own personal holdings of slaves based on their view of what scripture said. Now, let's be clear. Paul and God are not advocating slavery. I believe Scripture is clear that slavery is wrong, but I believe Paul's purpose here is to equip us on how to live the Spirit-filled life in the worst of situations. It was through Spirit-filled men and women that put an end to this horrible practice of slavery. Christianity undermines slavery from within. Now, you know, there's a lot of how do we deal with the social injustices, and how do we deal with this? Well, I think this passage is a clear reminder that God works from the inside out. Slavery is wrong, but God is advocating the transformation of the heart to bring change to the culture versus civil disobedience or protesting. Because at the end of the day, if you are not saved, you're hellbound, whether you're free or slave. And so we see in this passage that the idea here is to work on the inside out, to bring Christ into their lives, to bring transformation, because ultimately it was men of God who worked against the slave, whether it was in the political arena like Wilberforce in England and others who worked this whole process to eventually eliminate what we in our country had known as a dark time in our history. Unfortunately, slaves still exist in the world. Whether it's through power or greed or lust or whatever it is for power, the sex trade is rampant in many third world countries and in our country in one way or another. But the reality here for us is we teach the gospel, we preach the gospel, because it's the gospel that sets us free. It is a gospel that even though the battle rages on, we know that the war has been won. And so as we approach this passage, we don't want to neglect the reality of what Paul was addressing that day, but we also need to find the application for you and I here. And the reality is, again, slavery is wrong, but even in the midst of the slavery, there is a way to be spirit-filled and glorify God, and that trusting that God would deliver them, and that God would set them free spiritually, that even though they're in shackles, they would be free. I think of the prisoners that, and we saw a short video on that, on Angola prison. Now, yes, those who are in Angola prison did something to get there. And usually, this prison is the end of the line. They do not get out. This prison has been very war-torn and very ugly. They said blood was shed almost every single day there. But God did a work. And inside the prison, men's lives were transformed because of the power of the gospel. That even though now they live with no exit strategy out of the prison, they have the exit strategy for eternal life. That even in the darkest place, in the darkest moments, the gospel works. And I don't know where you are in your life right now. I don't know what you're struggling with. It's personal, family, job, whatever it might be. There's hope because of the gospel. There's hope for you because our perspective changes. We're no longer looking at, woe is me. We're not looking at, you know, we're looking at the eternal opportunity we have to make an impact. Because there is an exit strategy for all of us, and it's Christ and being with Him forever. So we come to this reality here, remembering in what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Find yourself boss or employee, we are all still, as Christians, subject to one another in Christ. We must lift up our position in Christ. We're all on equal footing. Paul tells the Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? We demand our rights. We demand our place. We demand first and everything. We demand that. And yet, as a Christian, I'm not my own. I belong to Christ. Whatever marching orders Christ has for me, that is where we should go, right? For you have been bought with a... I'm sure you've worked for very good bosses. The situation is, we glorify God. Because ultimately, we're working for the Lord. Therefore, glorify God. Chapter 7, he says, were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. In slavery, if you have opportunity to be free, be free. If you have an opportunity to step on out, if you're also able to be free, rather do that. The Lord, while a slave, is the Lord's free man. In other words, even inside, you're free. Spiritually, you're free. Penalty of sin has been broken. We can soar spiritually. We're under a bad, horrible boss. Christ is led and directed by His holiness and His righteousness and His love and His profit and bonuses and pride and greed and other things. Not always, a lot of times. No matter what your position is as in management, you all have to answer to a board of directors. Even our president has to answer to somebody. He says, you were bought with a price. But don't become a slave. In other words, don't turn the freedom you have in Christ back over to slavery of what men want and what the world wants and what the world is demanding. You say, no. I'm a free man in Christ. I'm a slave of Christ. I'm going to follow Christ. And so as we think about these things, there's three things I want us to see out of the passage in Ephesians 6. And the first one I want us to be mindful of, no matter where we are in life, we live and work for the Lord. No matter where we are, if we're employed, we're unemployed. If we're a boss, if we're an employee, we live and work for Christ. Whether our supervisor is good or bad, we work for and live for Christ. Whether we're in a great situation, we live and work for Christ. Whether we have our dream job or not, we live and work for Christ. Whether we're getting paid what we think we deserve, we live and work for Christ. Whether we are not getting the things or the recognition we think we should, we live and work for Christ. Because, friends, there are a lot of thankless jobs. And one of them is motherhood. It's a thankless job, right, ladies? In many ways. You don't get the accolades from getting an award and Mother of the Month, right? You don't get a special parking spot. You don't get a bonus. You don't get a gift card to Starbucks. You don't. It's a thankless job. Until something goes wrong, then all of a sudden, bam, you're in the news. But how many moms tough it out every morning? How many moms who work outside the house tough it out even more? But friends, wherever we are in life, we work, we live and work for the Lord. He says here in verse 5, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling. That's honor and respect. In sincerity of your heart as to the Lord, as to Christ. Good or bad? Good boss? Bad boss? As to Christ. Now, obviously we know this is always in the context of legal activity or doing what's right. Okay? But he says here, in sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service, not only when your boss is watching, and now they're watching all the time with cameras everywhere, or as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the inside transformation. Many times we struggle with our work environment, and a lot of times it's because of us. I deserve more. I deserve better. Why didn't I get that promotion? Why do I have to? Why do I get extra work? Why is today's favor tomorrow's assignment? No matter what the situation is, we serve for the Lord's pleasure. We work for His glory. We honor Him. More so now that a lot of you are able to work from home. That takes more discipline, right? Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do, do your heart worthily. Work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men or women. I know some guys, they really have a hard time when they have a woman boss. They just can't handle it. I know one guy got fired from Microsoft because he continued to bump heads with the female boss. Friends, a boss is a boss. I know one man was fired from his job at U-Haul because they were siphoning off the gas for their own personal use. And they told him if you couldn't get on board with it, you were out of here. And he was out of there. I know others, we at the Postal Service, they caught you stealing. The postal inspectors loved handcuffing you and walking you down the main aisle. They paraded you down, not a lot of fanfare, but quietly walked you down, and you couldn't hide the cuffs because you were stealing. And generally speaking, when the postal inspectors caught you stealing, it wasn't the first time they saw you. They had enough on you, most of the time, not all the time, to fire you. Not very often did I hear you went to jail, but they took your retirement. Stop and think about this for a moment. Think about Job. Now, I'm thinking of those who have been in bad situations with work environments. Because you all know the story of Job, right? He did not know what was going on. But God and Satan had had a conversation in heaven. And God pointed out to Satan, hey, look, have you considered my friend Job? And Satan says, Job only follows you because you take care of him. Job only follows you because you protect him. Job only follows you because you've blessed him with a good-sized family, a number of servants, a number of animals, which was the way they accumulated or acknowledged wealth. He had a big spread. God says, okay, do what you want. Just don't take his life. His children were killed. His servants were killed. His animals were killed. He went from riches to poorest in a matter of days. And this is Job's response. So as you think about your work situation, as you think about your life, as you think about the difficulties you're facing, think about what Job says. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the... Now, I've had some bosses that are pretty bad. And I wish I could say I handle them all extremely godly, extremely well. And I didn't. So I identify with some of you where you are, where you want to argue with, where you want to contest, where you want to step up because of I won't use the words, but they just need help. And it seemed like there were times that the only way to get a bad employee to do better was to promote him. Anyway, he goes on to say in chapter 2, that was chapter 1 of Job. In chapter 2, Job's wife looks at him in disgust. He says, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job says, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? We can't all have our dream job. And guess what? A lot of times you get that dream job. It's not much of a dream, is it? Is it? Yet in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Key point here, friends. Stop complaining. If you have to have a one-on-one conversation with your supervisor, have a one-on-one conversation. If you have union reps, have your union rep there. There's nothing wrong with that. If you need to deal with something that's a practice, you have a suggestion, or you have a complaint, then talk with them. Stop going to the break room and complaining. You know, there's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What does it accomplish? With us at the Postal Service, because I was in Los Angeles, a lot different than where others are, where Jason's at. We had the option. I had the option of bidding to probably 60 different facilities, small facilities. And so a lot of people would bid to get away from a bad supervisor. I learned early on, you don't bid because of a bad supervisor. One of the ladies, she bid it away from the manager of the station because he was on her case. I don't know the whole story, but she bit it away. She got to her new assignment station, and guess who was walking up the way with her? The manager she just bit it away from got reassigned the same weekend that she got the new job. So she was there with him again. Friends, we can't run from problems. Let's be a godly influence. Let the gospel transform us so we can help transform others. We don't know the situations of life. Stop complaining and griping. And when it seems like all is lost, remember Job's words out of chapter 19. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on earth. And sometimes we just have to leave it saying, Lord, you're going to sort this out. I'm one of your children. You're going to sort it out. But whatever I do, wherever I go, however I live, however I work, I do it unto the Lord. And that requires, as Al mentioned earlier, an adjustment for us, doesn't it? The second thought here, no matter how difficult your situation, there is a reward waiting for you. I'm not saying from your boss. I'm not saying from the company. I'm saying in eternity. Because he says here in verse 7, with goodwill, render service. Oh, there it is again. As to the Lord. Notice the context here of employees. Whatever we do, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. Whatever comes our way, we do it as unto the Lord. Whatever happens, we are as if Christ is right there in our presence with that supervisor's badge, with the manager's badge, with the owner's badge, with whatever badge it is, an employee. And you see on his name tag, manager, Jesus Christ. Supervisor, Jesus Christ. Stop and think about this for a moment. If you were the owner of the company, is the behavior you are giving, the type of work you're giving every day, is that what's acceptable by you? Think about that for a moment. Maybe you work in a big company where there's a lot of departments. Well, think of your department as the contracting business that you own, and you contract with this bigger business. Is your behavior, is your work habits worthy of what you would expect your employees? Think about that for a moment. But look at verse 7 again. With goodwill, render service, as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. When I retired from the Postal Service, I was there 26 and a half years. I had been at this one facility, 10, 15 years. And people were coming, what's the post office going to do without you? I said, the same thing it did before I got here. It'll continue going on. You know, one man doesn't stop the show. One woman doesn't stop the show. They just continue on. But friends, maybe you thought you deserved that promotion. There's a commercial. The lady thought she was going to be brought up into the partnership, and they brought somebody else up. Well, friends, I live and work for the Lord. The Lord will reward me for faithfulness, for loyalty, for consistency, for integrity. Colossians chapter 3 was a parallel passage here. Now remember, Paul is writing all this stuff from prison because he's a prisoner because of the gospel. But he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, we read this, do your work heartily as to the Lord rather than men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There's a reward lined up for you in heaven. There is a reward that day when you get out of this body and into your spirit, new spiritual body. That in itself will be reward. And as I'm getting older, it's getting easier to want that new spiritual body with the aches and pains and the struggles. But we know that we will receive that reward. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 4, here he's speaking of the servant who is foreshadowing the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And the Lord, in John chapter 1, verse 11, says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He says here in verse 4 of Isaiah, "But I said, I have toiled in vain, I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity, because his people would not hear him. His people would not respond. His people would not submit and surrender and repent." But this is what he says. This is what the servant says. "Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." Friends, I know, I get it. People around you, bonuses, promotions, acknowledgments, and you go along faithfully doing your work, no recognition comes your way. But it doesn't matter, because the greatest recognition, the greatest reward, is that eternal reward that we will get in heaven, right? "Yet surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." Okay, lest you think it all falls on the employee and not the managers. Point number three. No one is exempt from exercising godliness. That's the third point. Because he says here in verse 9, "And masters, do the same things to them." The way you want your employees to handle themselves at work, you handle yourself at work. Just because it's not do as I say, but do as I do. "Masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening." Treat your employees the way you want to be treated. Treat your employees by being an example. Treat your employees with dignity and respect, is what he's saying. You want dignity and respect? Give dignity and respect. If you want to be encouraged, give encouragement. That's right. You tell them, like Alexis, you got to do that. That's the bare minimum. He's saying, do the same thing to them. Give up threatening. Spiritual bonds surpass all. Because he says here, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. In other words, you all answer the same God. He's talking here to Christians. Christian bosses, Christian employees. You all answer to God. So don't think you're going to get away with doing what you're doing, because they can't do anything about it. One of the horrible realities of the workers that come, that are in front of Home Depot, is that there are some that will hire them, they'll work them hard all day, and they won't pay them. And they say, "Who are you going to call? Who's going to defend you? You don't have papers, you're not here legally, you can't do this, you can't do that. Besides, you try to call the police on me, I'm going to call immigration on you." That's horrible, because this is what he says. He says this in James chapter 5. "Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, which has been withheld by you, cries against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath." Don't think as a supervisor, as a manager, as a boss, or as an owner, you can get away with mistreating your employees, because God knows and God is aware of what's happening. He knows the backroom deals. He knows the shady deals. He knows the shady characters you let around. This is a spirit-filled employment, and it goes both ways, whether you're a supervisor or a manager. I tried supervising for a while. You know what? I said, "Lord, I thought I wanted it. I went back as a clerk." Because as a clerk, you only get kicked on one end. As a supervisor, I got kicked on both ends. You know what? Forget it. I don't have the time for this, or the emotional energy to deal with this at work, because I was already in Bible school, and I was already pursuing the vocation of being a pastor. I said, Lord, I don't need that. I don't need to pull my hair out because of what's going on at work. Because you don't get supported either way. Now, don't get me wrong. I have some really good employees. Really good employees. But it lasted a short time. My managerial career with the post office. Turn with me to Philemon chapter 1, please. Philemon. It's a small book in the New Testament. It's right after Hebrews. Right? Right, Eddie? Philemon. Before. It's somewhere there, huh? I'm sorry, it's not there. Oh, mess this morning. Philemon is before Hebrews, not after Hebrews. Look what he says in verse 15. Now, Philemon, can't even think of the story now. Philemon is he owns some slaves. He's a brother in the Lord. Onesimus is a slave that runs away. Paul has some dealings with Onesimus while they're in prison, and he leaves him for the Lord. This is what he tells him. Now again, remember now, by this book here, Paul is not advocating slavery. He is simply trying to bring about heart change. And he says here in verse 15, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. How much more do you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? And what we're talking about this morning, this reminds us that we're on equal footing. Management, employees, if we're in the Lord, we're on equal footing. Treat each other accordingly. Do that for His glory. There was a second thing that just kind of just fled my mind. Gospel opportunity. Gospel opportunity. Sometimes in our most difficult situations, God presents a gospel opportunity. And maybe it's that gospel opportunity that God is asking you to take advantage of, or to push, or to give. Now, I'm not advocating that you spend all your time at work just standing around talking about Jesus. That's not glorifying to God. If you're on the clock, you work on the clock. Sometimes you're given the benefit of being able to have a conversation back and forth. But sometimes God presents an opportunity. See, man, you've been extra angry, supervisor. Is there anything I can pray for you for? It just seems like you're off kilter. I don't know what it is. There's something I can pray for you for. And that might open the floodgates for a gospel opportunity. Can we talk at break time? Or can we talk at lunch? Or, you know, I'm willing to stick around after work if you'd like to talk a little. But friends, sometimes people are just mean because something else is going on in them. Sometimes they're trying to hold it together so they're a little bit more verbal. So that people don't get the clue that, hey, something else is going on in me and I don't want to portray weakness, so I'm going to overcompensate. But his responsibility as a manager, Paul tells the Colossians, masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. It comes back to it. Are God's keeping an account? Just as we're to do our work for the Lord, so are we to supervise or manage. I don't know how many supervisors or managers or positions, maybe it's an official title. Maybe you have an unofficial title. Because you've been there the longest. They send everybody to you. You have a question, see so-and-so. You have a question, see so-and-so. But We have a responsibility to pursue Spirit-filled employment wherever we go, wherever we are, whoever we work for, whatever situation we are. We are to let the Spirit fill us and lead us in the way we respond. Think about your own position.
Those of you who are avid gym goers,
that's G-Y-M, not J-I-M, gyms, an accurate training program will help you do some cardio. It'll help you work up an upper body, and it'll help you work out on your lower body. You see a lot of people with upper body strength, big muscles and big chest, but skinny legs. So you have to work out different parts. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Probably one of the best gyms for you to go work out your godliness is your job. Because you will be pushed, you will be stretched, you will be confronted, you will be taunted, you will be yelled at, you will be whatever, a variety of different things. Well, your godly response is to maybe bite your tongue. Or your godly response is to remember James 1:20, the wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. But friends, when you get there to work, your godliness will be tested. Whether you will be gainfully employed is the words that they use with us at the post office. Gainfully employed. But remember, God wants you to be a witness and a testimony of His grace and His glory. So let's go out there, be gracious, be faithful, be men and women of character, men and women of integrity. And this goes, if you're a student, this goes for your student work too. Father, today, only because of Christ in me that I can have a different perspective on my work. That, Father, work is not a result of the curse, but work is a way for your name to be glorified, for your name to be taken out to the world, to be shown on display as we work for you. Stir our hearts, draw us to yourself. We pray for those who are employees, Father, that you would help them, strengthen them, give them wisdom, give them the sight to see gospel opportunities. For those who are in positions of management, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and restraint and compassion and all that is needed. But ultimately, Father, we all answer to you. Help us to do so with a clean heart. We thank you for that and praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.